My dad, Pastor Salem, felt blessed to be in your homes each week to reveal God's mercy, grace, and everlasting love. In the message today, Christ's Answer to Man's Needs, Pastor reminds us that Jesus is the answer to all of your needs. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are at your door knocking and wanting to come in and visit with you and worship with you and just think about the wonderful, beautiful Lord Jesus Christ. And we got a sermon today we're going to be talking about. Jesus is the answer to all of our needs. I don't care what your need is, He is the answer. And so I just maybe call your friends, tell them, tune us in. Well, first of all, though, we have to read some of the letters. We just want to thank you so much. And by the way, we'll give you the address at the close of the service. So you get your pencil and paper ready, and then we'll let you know, give you the address then. But here's some letters we have. First one is from St. Francis, Minnesota. And they write, "Thank you so much for the new song you send me. My husband and I go to a nursing home to do a church service. I was able to use the one you sent me this month." And now the new song is a little Bible study. And we send a new one out every month. And the one that we're sending this month is entitled, "Seven Reasons That I Know Why I Know I'm Going to Heaven." Seven reasons. And they're all from the Bible. And it's not that people, I've had a vision and things like that. It's what God says, seven reasons. And so you get your pencil and paper and just write for the new song. And we'll send it free and postpaid. It's a wonderful little paper. And I know what some of you are saying. Well, I know one thing. Pastor Salem, he'll get to heaven. He preached 73, it's almost 73 years now. He should get, being a preacher doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. The only thing that matters is if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you've asked him into your heart. And if you do that and just say, "Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Then I'll repent. I'll turn to you. I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul." And if you make that prayer, it says, "Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, and you will be saved for eternity." So why don't you do that if you've never done it before? Just do it right now. Well, let's see. Here's a letter from Villica, Iowa. Oh, listen to these folks. Here's some farmers. I love the farmers. I was raised on a farm, and we had sheep. And I love the farm, and I do love sheep. And they are dumber than a dodo, but they're so innocent. And, I do love sheep. But anyway, this is from Villica, Iowa. "We sold our soybeans. We want to give you some of the money that belongs to God." And I thought that was so good because they write and say, the money belongs to God. And do you know that God owns everything? We just work in the store. God owns the store, and we just work for him. In the Bible, it talks about a vineyard. The vineyard belongs to God, and we work in that vineyard. And so here they are. They say that it belongs to God. Do you know 10% belongs to God? And sometimes people say, well, that's Old Testament, that's the law. No, that was given before there was a law, before Mount Sinai, before the law was given. And in the New Testament, Jesus tells us in Luke and Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23 that we ought to give 10%. We ought to tithe. You ought to consider that, friend. If you're not doing it, ought to consider that. Let's see, Del Rapids, South Dakota, good old South Dakota. "Please accept this gift to keep your wonderful program running. I'm a shut-in and disabled, and your program does wonders for me. P.S. Please send salvation booklet. Thank you." Now, we have a little booklet called "Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation?" And the answer is absolutely not. Once saved, you're always saved. And we have 11 reasons why you can't lose your salvation, and they all come from the Bible. Now what you do, you write to us and get your pencil and paper. We'll give it to you in just a few minutes after the sermon. You write to us And we'll send you the booklet. If you can send a gift to help us on it, it's about 13 pages. If you can help us, all right. If you don't have any money, like people in prison or some on Social Security, we'll send you free and postpaid. Somebody else will make it up. Just write salvation. We'll know what that means. One other letter that we want to read, and that is just a short note with my gift. I enjoy your service every week. You have a great crew working with you. When you first started, I thought, oh boy, he wants to retire. You all got it going, and I'm glad. And I'm glad I can still support you all. Sunday is still the Lord's day and rest for me. And so they're talking about retiring. I'm 95, going on 96 here, closer to 96 than I am to 95. And I'm going to go as long as I have breath. And people say, when are you going to retire? And I always tell them, I'm going to retire 3 days before my funeral. But I'll retire when God tells me to, you see. But I'll preach it as long as I have breath and as long as the Lord lets me. And so I hope that you'll write to us. And I'm going to give you the address. I think I'll just wait on that. And we'll take that at the end of the service. But let's look at here Jesus, how he's the answer to all of our needs. And in the John chapter 9, and I know some of you have your Bibles with you, so you just can turn to that if you want to, John chapter 9. And here we have the story. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and he goes to the temple. And there then John writes, at the temple he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered them, saying, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Then Jesus proceeds to heal the blind man. And the neighbors in all of Jerusalem are talking about this man being healed. And some can't believe he's the same man, but the man declares in no uncertain terms in verse 9, I am he. And then the Pharisees come into the picture, those Pharisees, God have mercy. And they come to the Pharisees and they are all upset. They are all riled up something terrible. Not because a man has received his sight, but they're all upset because Jesus healed them on the Sabbath. And it's not a matter to the Pharisees that the miracle took place. They don't care about the miracle, but the fact that he did it on the Sabbath. And so they question the man, and they wonder if he's really been healed. And so they go and they talk to him. They go first of all to the man's parents. And the parents say, well, they confess, yeah, this is our son. Yes, he was blind, and now he can see. But but they refuse to go on record confessing that Jesus did it. Instead, they just say, well, he's of age, go and ask him. You see, the parents are afraid. Why are the parents afraid to cross the Pharisees? Because if the Pharisees get mad at you, they can excommunicate you from the temple, and you can't so much as even go in the door. And to some people, they don't care if they ever go through the church door. They don't want to go through the church door till they die. Then somebody can carry him through. But there are other people that love the Lord and being in church and worshiping God, and especially in this day when they felt that you had to be in the temple to pray, it was worse than it was. They would rather die than be excommunicated. And so these parents don't want to be excommunicated. So they said, well, you ask our son. So they dodge the issue. So the Pharisees run down the man. They question him again. They urge him to deny Jesus. They put all the heat on him they can to deny that Jesus did it and say that it wasn't Jesus and it wasn't a miracle. But the man doesn't break. He just simply tells him, I don't understand how it happened, but I know that a man called Jesus healed me. It's just like when you're saved. I don't understand all of this regeneration and the birth from above, but I know I've got peace that I didn't have before. See? And so furthermore, the man says, and then the man goes on, he says, I think this man is from God or else he couldn't do these miracles. And the Pharisees about jump out of their britches. They about go crazy. And whereupon they got so mad, the Pharisees come in so mad that they think that this man might be from God, they excommunicate the man from the temple. He's been healed from his blindness, now they excommunicate him. And then it was that somebody told Jesus all about this. Jesus looked up the man, he comforted him, he encouraged him, and the man cries out, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped God. And in a nutshell, that's the story. Now, what does it teach us? Well, first of all, it teaches us, what is sickness anyway? Here's a man, he's blind from birth, and Jesus is going to heal him. And by the way, this is the only instance on record where Jesus healed someone with a congenital sickness, the only place. The disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, if the man was born blind, how could he have committed it himself? Well, he maybe was, they believed in reincarnation. Maybe he's been here in another life. He sinned. Now he comes back and God's punishing him. He's blind. We don't know what ran through their mind, but they said, did he sin or did his parents? And others thought it was the sin of the parents. So there, in which case they would be, sometimes there the sin comes on the children because of the parents. Take, for instance, the little babies that are born with drug withdrawal. That's the parents' sin passed on to the children's sin, the poor little helpless things. Or women who smoke heavily and their baby are born deformed or with some other great, terrible problem. That's a sin of the parents going on to the children. Same thing happens with AIDS and so on. But Jesus says that, and that isn't always the case for suffering and trials. And Jesus said neither the man nor his parents was to blame for his blindness. And he didn't answer the question, who caused the blindness? Instead, Jesus said in so many words, don't worry about why it happened. Don't worry about the situation at all. Let's do something about it. He promptly healed the man. And we need to be very careful. We don't judge that someone is sinning. If someone's suffering is always a result of their sin. Sometimes people get sick and they'll say, oh, he's got some secret sin and he didn't tell anybody, but he's sure sinning. And so they're way off base, because Job, he was a man, a wonderful man of God, and he sinned and he was a perfect man. That doesn't mean he didn't have sin, but he was an upright man. God said he's the most righteous man of his day. He lost his family. He lost his all of his things, and he lost his health. And so it wasn't because of his sin at all. It was that God was working in his life. And so they come to this poor man, and they come with Job, for instance. I'm thinking of Job, and he had his friends come to him. And one thing I like about the friends, they told him to talk to him to his face. And Eliphaz is one of them, and he says, now Job, listen. We know that God doesn't punish people unless they've done something wrong. And so you got a secret sin and you just confess that sin and then you'll be all right. But you got to confess that sin and then you'll be all right. See, there's people like that. They'll think that so when maybe there's some 50 years ago they committed a sin as a young person and now they have some calamity in their life and they think God is punishing from that sin. But when we accept Jesus Christ, he washes away our sins and he never punishes us, not double jeopardy. He never punishes us for sins that he's forgiven us. But if we've lived in such a way so that we bring it on ourselves. For instance, here's a man and he's a drunkard and he comes to Jesus and if he's saved, I've had it happen. I've seen it happen. And he accepts Jesus and he's saved and his sins are washed away. But he dies from liver cancer. He's ruined his liver. Now, you see, sometimes the results carry on. But far as the sin itself is concerned, no such thing. And so then this is a man, and then we look at him and we see something else. We see that real faith grows. And this man in our story shows growth. And you see it beautifully in this ninth chapter of the gospel. In verse 11, the man says, a man called Jesus, and all he knew about Jesus was his name. And then in verse 17, he says he's a prophet. He says, I believe that he's a prophet, and that was a high honor. And he says, he's a man called Jesus. Now he says, I believe he was a prophet. And then verse 31, he concludes that Jesus is the son, as a man from God. He says, I think he's sent from God. And then you come to the 35th verse and he says, I believe he is the Son of God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow in grace and he wants us to live for him and to serve him. And he wants us to be sure that we get to a church where they're preaching the Bible, have Bible studies with other friends, read your Bible every day, pray every day, endeavor to grow spiritually. That's what this man did, and that's what God expects us to do. And then I want you to look at something else. Look at the cruel, awful curse of legalism. Look at this picture. Here's a man, he's born blind. All his life he sits there blind. He's begging for a living. Every man, everyone knew the man and knew his family, and they felt sorry for him, and they wished they could help him, and they did help him what they could. And there he sits, blind. Now here comes the Son of God, and he heals him. He restores his sight. Now he can go to work. Now he can make some money. Now he can help some other person that's in trouble or doesn't have enough to see to get along. Why wouldn't you rejoice about that? Wouldn't the whole town rejoice about that? Wouldn't they all praise God? They did. But the sour, dour old Pharisees, the legalism, the legalists, they come along. And the first thing they say, he did it on the Sabbath. The Sabbath. And he, never mind that he's made whole. Never mind that a wonderful thing has happened here. The tough, old, heartless, cold, legalistic Pharisees, proud and judgmental and vindictive, are saying, oh, he did it on the Sabbath. Now I'm going to tell you something, Lord, what the Lord did here. The Lord did a lot of things on the Sabbath. And you wonder why he did it. For instance, he picked corn on the Sabbath. He healed the paralytic on the Sabbath. He healed the blind man on the Sabbath. And why does he do that on the Sabbath? And in St. Mark, we have the answer to it. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Whether it's Sabbath or Sunday, who cares? It doesn't make a bit of difference if you're worshiping God and you're putting God first and serving him. That day must have come when we make a legalism our God and when we have our little rules and you always have to be careful or you might do this or you might do that and you might fail. Legalism, get rid of it and take the grace of God that it goes over all our sin. My grace is sufficient for thee. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The wonderful grace of God. And then Jesus always cares for his own. Here's this poor man. The Pharisees are angry because of his confession and they excommunicate him. And who comes? Jesus comes. And this dear Lord Jesus Christ comes. And to the first thing he did is he comforted this man and he encouraged this man. Jesus heard that they cast him out of the temple, the poor man out. And when he had found him, verse 35, here's the good shepherd. And he's coming to help this man. You know what? That's what Jesus does. He's always that good shepherd who comes to us and he takes us in his arms. And when he would come to us, he comes to us. And he tells us, I may stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come again and open the door. And I will come and sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3, verse 20. And what Jesus is telling us, I am the good shepherd and I want to come into your heart. And I want to live in your heart. I want to save your soul. And you have to be born again, Jesus said. And Jesus said again in John, he says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. How do you receive him? You say, I want to receive him. I don't know how. Well, how do you receive anybody? If they knock on the door, you open the door and you say, come in. That's what you do with Jesus in your own words. Don't get fancy. Forget the thee and the thous and all of the rest of it and say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. And God knows it, but he wants us to confess it. And then you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll follow you and I'll serve you the best I can. And this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ will do that. So just come to, just pray that prayer right now. And if you do, then you write to us. I'm going to give the address shortly. Because who, if you don't, Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the church. I spent all my life in it, preaching and serving the church. I love the church. It's an institution of God, but it is there to hold forth the word of life, and the word church can't save you, and the rituals and all of the rest of it, the ceremonies and all of the rest of it can't save you. The way of salvation is a person. I am the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes unless they have Jesus. And you can have Jesus if you ask him into your heart. Oh, my friend, whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will find everlasting life. And I'm praying, we're praying on the Christian Worship Hour right today that you'll do that, that you'll open your heart to the Lord. You'll ask him to come in and be born again. It's no small thing to know the truth and refuse it. Those Pharisees knew that he was a son of God. They couldn't help it, but they refused him and they turned him away. And there, I've seen it in my ministry over the years. They know that Jesus Christ is a son of God. They know that they have to have him to be saved, but they turn their back on him. Or the devil will say, well, don't say no. Just say you'll do it another time. Put it off. And that's saying no. And so what we have to do, you remember what Solomon tells us? He says, he who often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He's saying if you continually refuse Jesus Christ, you continue to turn your back on him, then you're going to lose your soul in hell just as sure as the world. Because when you die, you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And you decide where you go. If you decide for Jesus and you ask him into your heart and you say, well, is that all I do? That's all you do. Whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You put your faith in Jesus, call upon his name, and it's all in your court. Nobody can do it for you. I wish I could do it for you. You men, I think of the men because they're usually the last one to come. Your wife probably prays for you. I'll bet your mother prayed for you. And now here you are, and you're going to come to the end of the life, and you don't have Jesus. And you could have him just by praying and saying, dear Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sins. Now I'll live for you. I'll turn from my sins the best way I can. Jesus taught repentance, and repentance means turning. You need to turn from your sins and walk with your Lord. I hope and pray you'll do that. Now, if you do that, you write to us and we'll send you some literature. I don't care where you're at in the world. We hear from people all over the world and we'll send you that. We'll send you some literature, to some scriptures to get you started in the Christian life. And you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. You've got it on the screen there, but I'm giving it slow for those on shortwave radio. Do you know that we cover 90% of the globe with shortwave radio? And you need to write to, if you've accepted Jesus, you need to do that. And so we're going to just, and then if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then you need to help us. And you need to say, dear Lord, is that ministry something that you want to carry on? Should I support that ministry? And God will tell you yes or no. He'll tell you. And then you say, if he says yes, you say, how much? God will tell you. And then there's your address, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and you send your gift and your prayers, and we'll carry on, and through your gifts, others can come to know the Lord and be born again. It's so important. It's life and death. And don't be like the Pharisees that turned their back on Jesus. They knew he was the Son of God, but they would not receive him, not bend to him. They stuck with their old stubborn ways, and they went into hell believing that. Don't do that. Don't fall for that. Come to Jesus. Now we're going to pray for you. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church. We always pray for the persecuted church. And we're going to pray for the church in India. And especially we're going to pray for the children, the little children. We never pray for the people that have been martyred because they're in the presence of God and they wear the martyr's crown. We don't pray for them, but we pray for those left behind. So, dear God, we're just praying today that you'll help multitudes of people all over the world to receive you into their life. And then, dear Lord, we're praying that you'll help the persecuted church. And we think about the little children, Lord. Oh, the innocent little people. And we know they belong to you. All the children are in your kingdom. You told us that. They belong to you. And we just pray that you'll bless and encourage them. I'm just praying, Lord, that you'll bless the people that are shut-ins today. Some on beds of sickness and some who just lost their spouse after many, many years. Lord, maybe there's some young person and they don't know which way to turn in life and they're having troubles. Maybe there's some are addicted to some of these things. And if they just call on you, the Holy Spirit will indwell them and give them strength and help. Help them to believe, dear Jesus. May many believe today. And may it all be done to honor you and exalt Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're really happy that we can be with you. We want to thank you for opening the doors for us. And want to just let you know that we love you, God loves you, and that's why we're doing it, the Christian Worship Hour. We want you to come to know Jesus. We want to see you in heaven. And all we hear from so many that are praying, and they say, we accepted Jesus. We prayed the sinner's prayer. We asked Jesus into our heart, and I'm a new person. I feel so happy. I feel at peace. I feel that it's all settled. I just thank you for telling you. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. You got it on the screen there. We need your help. You pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And so God bless you. Remember that the love of God is with us, and it comes through the preaching of the Word and the teaching of the Word. And so God bless you, everyone. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.